यशोदनन्दन भज जनरञ्जन यमुनतीरावनचारी यमुनतीरावनचारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्रीमद एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की समवेद गौर भक्त वृंद की निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल गुरुस असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल गुरुस असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल गुरुस असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल गुरुस ऑल गुरुस ऑल गुरुस शिष्य गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 टेक्स्ट चैप्टर 18 डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ वर्णाश्रम धर्म टेक्स्ट नंबर 42
भिक्षोर्धर्मशमोहिंसा तप ईक्षावनौकश गृहीनो भूतरक्षेज्य गृहीनो भूतरक्षेज्य द्विजस्याचार्यसेवनम् भिक्षोर्धर्मशमोहिंसा तप ईक्षावनौकश गृहीनो भूतरक्षेज्य द्विजस्याचार्यसेवनम् भिक्षोर्धर्माशमोहिंसा तप ईक्षावनौकश गृहीनो भूतरक्षेज्य द्विजस्याचार्य सेवनम् भिक्षोर्धर्मशमोहिंसा तप ईक्षावनौकश गृहीनो भूतरक्षेज द्विजस्याचार्यसेवनम् भिक्षोर्धर्मशमोहिंसा तप ईक्षावनौकश गृहीनो भूतरक्षेज द्विजस्याचार्यसेवनम् माताजी स्वधर्मा शमोहिंसा तपा ईक्षावनौकश गृहीनो भूतरक्षेज्य द्विजस्याचार्य सेवनम्।
भिक्षो ऑफ ए सन्यासी, धर्म द मेन रिलीजियस प्रिंसिपल, क्षम इक्वैनिमिटी, अहिंसा नॉन वायलेंस, तपह ऑस्टेरिटी, ईक्षा डिस्क्रिमिनेशन बिटवीन द बॉडी एंड द सोल, वन इन द फॉरेस्ट, ओकश ऑफ वन ड्वेलिंग ए वानप्रस्थ, गृहीन ऑफ ए हाउस होल्डर, भूत रक्ष ऑफरिंग शेल्टर टू ऑल लिविंग एंटिटीज, ईज्य परफॉर्मेंस ऑफ सैक्रिफाइस, द्विजस्य ऑफ ए ब्रह्मचारी, आचार्य द स्पिरिचुअल मास्टर, सेवनम सर्विंग। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय द सर्वेंट्स ऑफ हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की। द मेन रिलीजियस ड्यूटीज ऑफ ए सन्यासी आर इक्वानिमिटी एंड नॉन वायलेंस, वेर एज फॉर द वानप्रस्थ austerity and philosophical understanding of the difference between the body and soul are prominent. The main duties of a householder are to give shelter to all living entities and perform sacrifices. And the brahmachari is mainly engaged in serving the spiritual master. Purport. The brahmachari lives in the ashram of the spiritual master and personally assists the acharya. Householders generally are entrusted with the performance of sacrifice and deity worship and should provide maintenance for all living entities. The vanaprastha must clearly understand the difference between the body and soul in order to maintain his status of renunciation, and he should also perform austerities. The sannyasi should fully absorb his body, mind and words in self-realization. Having thus achieved equanimity of mind, he is the best well-wisher of all living entities.
Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्यामनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपम् साग्रजातां सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते, गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी, वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। वांचाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च, पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद, श्री अद्वैत गदाधार शिवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्ण, वेलकम ऑल द डिवोटीज फॉर आवर मॉर्निंग श्रीमद् भागवतम क्लास एंड सीक ब्लेसिंग्स फ्रॉम ऑल द असेंबल्ड वैष्णवस एंड ऑनलाइन वैष्णवस फॉर स्पीकिंग समथिंग दैट इज हेल्पफुल इन आवर प्रोग्रेस ऑफ डिवोशनल सर्विस इन आवर प्रैक्टिस ऑफ भक्ति एंड इन प्लीजिंग द गुरु एंड कृष्ण। सो दिस वर्स इज kind of a summary of the verses that are been spoken till now, where Lord Krishna is in succinct telling what are the different dharmas of different varnas, different ashramas, the sannyasi, the vanaprastha, the grihastha and the brahmachari. And we can see that although Lord Krishna, he had started with brahmachari, what are the duties of a brahmachari, and then he came to grihastha, then vanaprastha and sannyas. When he is summarizing, he is going the other way. First he is going with sannyasi and then to brahmachari. One reason can be that whatever is just spoken, so that was emphasized first, and also that sannyas order is the highest of all the orders, and to emphasize that and keeping that goal, how does all the ashramas prepare themselves to perfect one's life. And whenever, and this discussion has been happening during this chapter especially, that when it comes to practice of bhakti, which seems to be like an elevator that takes us from any platform, from anywhere, to the highest abode of Krishna, why do we have to discuss about the stairs? The varnashram is like the stairs that we take step after step when we are already in the lift. But it is very, even Lord Krishna, he explains that unless one is fully and purely absorbed in devotion service, one's psychophysical nature very much influences one's involvement in bhakti. How does one involve in different activities of bhakti? And because we are not able to neglect our psychophysical nature, say somebody has woken up early in the morning, 3 a.m. and then he has been doing chanting and different serving, and when he sits in the Bhagavatam class, no matter how much his desire may be to hear properly, he may naturally doze, he may naturally kind of not able to pay attention. Or you are hungry, and when you are hungry, then some devotee asks you to go and do something that will take 2 hours. Then again, you can't just do that because you are limited by your physiology and your psychology, your body and your mind. And therefore, Varnashram, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Chaitanya Shikshamrita, he elaborately discusses what is the place of Varnashram and what are the different duties that Varnashram prescribes, and the whole purpose is so that one can, if not able to take stairs, take the elevator, one should not be stuck. Sometimes it happens that the elevator doesn't function, that somebody up there, he just keeps a chair against the door of the elevator, or it is in progress, it is under construction, then you can't just keep waiting for the elevator to come. And same way, the boost that we get from association with devotees and other things that boost us in path of bhakti, when we don't have access to that, then our journey should not stop. Our journey ahead should continue, and therefore the varnashram is like the staircase. And even in almost all hotels, buildings, it is compulsory to point to where is the staircase. Because especially when there is danger, when there is fire, or when there is electricity breakdown, then elevators won't help. You always need a staircase that is always next to the elevator. So same way, in case our progress, our practice of bhakti is not able to be as desired, then next to that we should keep the varnashram practice so that we don't just fall back to the ground floor, or we don't again go back to the old habits or sinful life that we are living. So therefore varnashram is that slow and steady path which is safe, but it may not be swift. Whereas bhakti may be very swift. If you don't observe it properly, then either in the name of bhakti you start living a life that is just selfish. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he wrote a book called as Vaishnavism, Real and Apparent. There is real Vaishnavism and then there is also apparent Vaishnavism. And in apparent Vaishnavism, it is very difficult to diagnose whether this is real or apparent. And if you read that book, we may get horrified, we may get little bit depressed that how he diagnoses and how a sadhaka should try to come to the real Vaishnava platform, not just the apparent Vaishnava lifestyle that may be very much accepted or glorified. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Chaitanya Shikshamrita, he explains that the primary goal of all human beings, all life forms, is to go back to Godhead. And for that Lord Krishna has given the bhakti, the path of bhakti. And the path of bhakti, the two most important things are hearing and chanting, Shravanam and Kirtanam. And although these are the primary means to progress, Lord Krishna also has given the secondary means, which are the karma and the jnana. Karma caters to the body and jnana caters to the mind. Mind, the subtle existence, the mind, intelligence and ego. And and he explains that all the rules that are there in Varnashram, they are divided into prominently three categories. The first category of rules are rules regarding self-development. That how you can, yourself, you can develop. Rules regarding self. And in these rules regarding the self, then again he categorizes into rules for the body and rules for the mind. And he explains why we need rules for the body. He explains that rules for the body are needed so that the body doesn't trouble us in long term. For a smooth journey on the bodily level, we have to follow the proper rules of say bathing or eating, sleeping, whichever are there. These are for the smooth functioning of the body. And then for the mind, he explains that the mind, the rules for the mind are so that the mind can be strong in its determination. He says that the mind those who have strong minds, those whose minds are very strong, not in the negative sense but in the positive sense, they are able to do 5 things very nicely. And he says that anyone who has a healthy mind should be able to do these 5 properly, and if you are not able to do, then you can know that you have a weak mind or a fickle mind. First he says is concentration, that you are able to focus. And we all know that how feeble is our focus. It keeps shifting. So for that to happen, the rules are there. And another thing he says is contemplation. That not just concentration, but also to contemplate and think deeply. Sometimes we may be just looking at a text, but we are not able to go deeper into the text. We are just looking at the text or absorbed in the only what is apparently visible. And then he says a strong mind also is able to have very good imagination. That he is able to imagine the, as in science they say as thought experiments, that he is able to properly imagine and come up with creative solutions or ways by which he will avoid trouble. And fourth thing he says is a very healthy mind is able to take decisions quickly. His judgment is very proper. And we all see that today we judge on something and it's within 2 days our judgment changes because some situation comes up which we couldn't imagine. That what if when imagination is weak, then judgment is poor because we are not able to consider all types of situations that can come up because of which the what we decided is not going to work. And we see so many times when the road construction or something in the temple happens, because the imagination was not complete, later some situation comes and then you are stuck. Oh, we didn't think of this problem that would have arisen. And then we kind of stop. One of the recent examples is our shifting of library. That there was something that we didn't comprehend and then the decision is pending. So therefore he says that the decision making of a healthy mind is very quick. And it is said that a mature person is quick to decide but slow to judge others. When it comes to taking decisions about his life, he is very quick. And when it comes to judging others, he is very slow. And an immature person, he is slow to decide but quick to judge. For his own life, he is not able to decide which ashram should I join, which job should I join, which career should I take up, which service should I do. And he is kind of fluctuating, very slow to decide. But when it comes to branding different devotees or different things, he is very quick. So these are the 5 things that he says that a healthy mind has. And if one wants to have a healthy and strong mind, one should follow the rules of discipline that are given in the scriptures. And he says if one doesn't do that, then what happens is there won't be advancement in arts and sciences of the society. That the society, the science, the understanding of reality and the beautification of the world that we see around, there won't be progress in this arts and sciences. And the mind won't be able to come out of materialistic thoughts and direct it to Krishna because it is weak and it is very strongly being pulled
towards matter. And therefore, a weak mind is always having sinful thoughts and atheistic attitude. So this is what he explains about rules regarding the self. This is one category of all the rules that are there. Even if you just make a chart of all the rules that Krishna described till now, they will fit into these three categories. The first is rules regarding the self. Then he says, then there is a second category of rules that are rules regarding society. Rules regarding cooperative living. Because any human being is not just an independent entity in an island, but we all need each other to survive. We all need each other to thrive. And therefore, he says there are the Varnashram. Krishna has also designed rules regarding the society. How should the individuals interact with each other? What are the rules of interaction? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur especially focuses on rules for marriage. That marriage is one of the strong components in terms of societal interaction. That's when you start to interact with society. And we all know, till most students, they are aloof from what is happening in their in the society. But as I say, that a boy, he doesn't worry about the future till he gets married. And a girl, she stops worrying about the future till she gets married. Because once you get married to some proper person, then future is taken care of. The future is in the hands. So the boy, especially, becomes aware of his responsibility, his thing. Therefore, usually there is a trend that agar koi ladka bigda hua hai, uska shaadi kar do. Then he will become normal, he will become proper. So he says that marriage is that whom to marry. And recently one of the devotees, he sent me an article about how now there is a whole concept of genetic engineering, that how you can design your children. Till now that option was not there. Jo aaya usko accept karna padta tha. But now there are like institutes where you can design your child, what kind of intelligence he should have, what kind of strength he should have. And then some of the rules that they come up with, that who should marry whom, the compatibility and all that, very much connects to the way the Vedic system of marriage was there. The gotras and the same family, there should not be marriages and different things. Whatever was there, the same kind of thing is again coming up through science. But they just call it as genetic engineering or whatever. So the Shastras, knowing that how we can have the best progeny, best children for the society, they already given different rules. And if one follows those rules, then there will be progress in society. And one doesn't follow, every choice when made has a pleasure and has a price. So marrying without proper consideration, without proper compatibility, may be accepted today. But especially in Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains that there are lot of rules. And these rules regarding the society are for mainly two purposes. One is so that the population, the consciousness of the population elevates, so that the population in general comes of a very elevated category. And second is to avoid crime in the society, avoidance of criminal mentality. These are the two purposes for which there are rules in the Varnashram about how the society should conduct itself. And he says that one of the benefits of being in the grihastha ashram, not just freely having any kind of sexual relations, but to get married to one particular person and share one's life with. Is again he explains that is for six reasons. And the first reason is, he says, so that one doesn't remain on the level of animal life. If one just engages in sexual activities without being in the institution of marriage, then one almost becomes like an animal. So to safeguard one's downgrading of consciousness, all the marriage rules are there, or the concept of marriage is there. And then he says, and it also promotes mutual brotherhood, because once you have a family, then you also depend on others to maintain your family. So therefore, there is mutual brotherhood, that's because there is mutual dependence. One is a farmer, another is a trader, and both of them depend on each other, and then the relationships form. So mutual brotherhood, and it also allows the living entity to escape from the mind's fickle nature of keep on changing what you want to do. For the living entity to focus and serve Krishna, the free mind, especially the fickle mind, keeps changing. So he says that is another reason why marriage was stipulated, so that the vagabond nature of the mind is curtailed. The fourth is so that to help others in difficulty. And the fifth, all the rules that are there, is so that one earns his livelihood with honest means, so that there is no cheating business or different things. And sixth is so that people speak truth and they avoid lying. These are the six things he says. The grihastha ashram helps one to follow these six. And then again he explains in this varna and ashrama, the varna aspect. Varna in Sanskrit also means color. So the Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, these are different varnas, and these are different natures, different colors that each of us have. And he says that the nature someone has is mainly a product of one's past actions, past life's actions, and one's current family culture. What kind of family culture is there, and what kind of background he is carrying, his own baggage and the family influence that is there. So the nature is mainly determines how one conducts with one's own self, self rules. And the ashrama, he explains, they are for the social rules. How do you relate with society? If you are a brahmachari, you relate with society in a particular way. If you are a grihastha, you relate with society in a different way. So the social rules are also based on the varna. Varna is one's own development as a brahmana, as a kshatriya, as a vaishya or a shudra. And then ashrama is that, so that to help the society, to interact with the society. And although one's nature is determined by one's past life's actions and one's current family culture, he says that one cannot keep cribbing that what to do, my family was like this. If only you knew how I was treated in childhood. There are some therapies which whenever you go, they first ask about how you were treated in childhood, because most of the diseases or most of the things have a strong connection to how you led your when you were a child. So he says that two things can change one's nature, positively or negatively. If one wants to change one's nature, that is a result of these two things, family culture and past life. Training and environment, what kind of training you get and what kind of environment you live currently, can help one to change the nature. So therefore, in the Varnashram, there was the Gurukul system, where the student, where the boy, although family culture, he was with the family till the age of, say, 5 or 6 or 7, then he goes to the Guru's ashram, because the environment influences the child to once again see how does one want to form one's nature. And then the training that the Guru gives. So, and even Srila Prabhupada, by establishing ISKCON, he has given us these two things. The temples are to create the environment, and the services are there so that we can train ourselves, the different things that we do. And then he explains that it is not so easy to determine one's nature, especially in Kali Yuga. To know, I am a Brahmana, I am a Kshatriya, I am a Brahmachari nature or Grahastha. He says it is not easy. But in the previous ages, it was a general rule that usually a Shudra would beget a Shudra. And a Brahmana would beget a Brahmana. And then he goes into this this discussion that how did Varnashram, which was so scientific that just by based on birth you can fix, you could know what was one's nature, degraded. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains that Varnashrama was not there in Satyuga. In one of my previous classes I was explaining that in Satyuga there was no Varna, no Ashrama. Only one category called as the Hamsas. And the Hamsas, they were self-realized and there was no need of any agriculture or anything. The trees themselves were giving all the food that they needed. And they just used to take that and constantly keep meditating on the Supreme Lord. But by the beginning of Treta Yuga, the Varnashram system had to be started because people were not at that level of consciousness. And when it started in the Treta Yuga and later, Varnashrama for you, the Varna ones, who is a Brahmana, who is a Kshatriya, was determined based on one's guna and karma only when the father's identity was not known. He gives example of Jabali, Gautama and Janashruti and Chitrarata. I only know about Jabali and Gautama, but he explains two other personalities, Janashruti and Chitrarata, whose Varna, whether they are Brahmana nature or Kshatriya nature, because their fathers were not known, either they were discarded or they were not in touch with their father. So because the Janma was not known, the source of their Janma, the Guna and Karma was the factor. But in case where the father is known, then it was not just Janma. It was Janma for the father's nature. What is a father? Is a father and mother, the parents, are they belong to Brahmana or Kshatriya or Vaishya? And one's particular nature, guna and karma. So these three factors were used to determine one's nature. And he gives example that in the history of the Vedic period, that Kshatriyas gave birth to Brahmanas. Brahmanas gave birth to Kshatriyas or Shudras or Vaishyas. He specifically gives example of a king, a Kshatriya called as Narishyanta, and he had a child called as Jatukarna, who was a Brahmana. And then he gives another example of another Kshatriya called as Hotraka, whose son was Janu, was a Brahmana. And then he gives another example of in the dynasty of Bharadwaj, there was a Kshatriya called as Vitaha, whose two children, one became a Kshatriya, another became a Brahmana. The Kshatriya's name was Nara and the Brahmana's name was Garga, the one whom we know as Gargacharya. So his father was a Kshatriya. So like that he gives quite a few examples. But when is this coupling of the system, because currently the whole caste system, the Varnashram, is seen to be just birth based. And he explains, when I read this, I read twice that, is this really what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is writing? Because in one way, he kind of puts the whole responsibility on the Supreme Lord himself. He says that Varnashram was working well, this whole system of knowing one's nature and engaging in one's duty. As I said, the five benefits, realization, concentration, contemplation, imagination and judgment. These five are very strong when you are fixed in your nature. But when you are not fixed in your nature, all these five go for a toss. So he says that during the time of Parashuram and Jamadagni, this cycle, this proper system started to break. The first crack in Varnashram system appeared when Parashuram, who was a Brahmana, started to accept the duties of a Kshatriya. Because correcting the society is not the duty of a Brahmana, it is the duty of a Kshatriya. Even here, we see that Lord Krishna is explaining how different ashramas have different areas of focus. It's not that other ashramas don't cultivate the quality of ahimsa. It is not grihastha doesn't cultivate the quality of ahimsa or kshama. Or it's not that the brahmachari doesn't do tapasya. But everyone has a specific focus where you are supposed to spend your time and energy. And in this verse Krishna says, brahmachari, his main focus is to assist the acharya, assist the guru. And when one's focus shifts from that to say bhuta raksha or tapa or all other things, then he is not acting as per his ashrama. So the area of focus is very important. Although all are important, we have to focus on something. So he explains that when the Parashuram, because of the insult that was done, because the Jamadagni had this cow, Kamadenu cow. And Kamadenu cow was giving bounty of whatever one desired. One was giving, and Kartavirya Arjun came, he was able to feed all the population, all the soldiers very sumptuously. And Brahmana, and Jamadagni being a Brahmana, it is not his job to maintain others. It is a job of Kshatriya. But the Jamadagni was like today's mobile phones with Jio, everything is available. So Kamadenu, everything was available in one cow, one app, one mobile. So how can I leave that? So he stepped into another zone, and also Kartavirya Arjuna, it was also his fault that he had forcibly demanded and took the cow away. So the crack in Varnashrama, where both the Brahmana and the Kshatriya, they stepped into others' areas of interest. And Parashuram became severely angry, and we know that he went on to kill all the Kshatriyas that were existing that time, whoever was not following properly, any mistake, only one punishment, death penalty. So, and in the Mahabharata it is explained that how many of the Kshatriya clans, they ran away to different parts of the world. That's how different civilization, Egyptian civilization and South American civilization, all this began by all the Kshatriyas who could not bear the wrath of Parashuram, and they had to fled. But those who were still in India, there was a heavy friction between the Brahmana and Kshatriya classes. Because Parashuram represented Brahmana class. And then the this whole system that who should be a Kshatriya, they also, because the Brahmanas were supposed to help the Kshatriyas, but here because the Brahmana, especially Lord Parashuram, of course he came to establish Dharma, but whatever you do in this world, there is always some reaction, either or thither. So that's when Varnashrama by birth started to become a bit prominent, because the whole Kshatriya race was killed and who was supposed to rule became a big question of contention. And then the Kshatriyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, that when the Kshatriyas are taking proper advice and are serving the Brahmanas, they elevate, they are able to come out of their anxieties and they are come out of their position control that they have. And because they could not elevate, because they were not taking shelter of the Vedic system of Brahmanas and taking shelter of Vedas, then most of them, they started to take to Buddhism. And because one was, they didn't had the courage to face proper wars. So this whole philosophy, this whole religion was an easy excuse to not wage wars, even though when it was right. And that's how the Kshatriyas, they stopped elevating. And because of that, the Brahmanas, they became more and more, because they were not getting encouragement or acknowledgement from the society for what they were doing, they started to become insecure about their position. So, and they started to utilize their position to make their own pockets filled or their bellies filled up. So the Brahmanas got into exploitation of position, and the Kshatriyas, they were no more considering the aspect. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains one of the main important aspects of Kshatriya is loyalty to one's culture. We have in the Ramayan, this Doha from Ramcharitmanas, Ragukul Riti Aise Chali Aai, Pran Jaye Par Vachana Na Jaye. And when Vibhishan had come for taking shelter, Lord Ram says that my ancestor Shibi, when somebody had taken shelter of him, he had given his own flesh. And me being a descendant of Shibi Maharaj, if somebody comes to take shelter of me, if I don't give shelter, in spite of there may be some kind of loss for me, I will not be considered a proper Kshatriya, because Kshatriya always thinks that what will my ancestors, that my ancestors' name should not go in vain. But later the Kshatriyas, especially after this whole corruption happened, they were no more loyal to their culture. Disloyalty to their culture started to creep in. And then the Brahmanas, although they were unqualified because the Kshatriyas were no more in touch with them, they started to write all types of books promoting sense gratification. And in midst of this chaos between the administrators and the visionaries, or between the preachers and the managers, the Vaishyas, they kind of resigned from either consulting the Kshatriyas or the Brahmanas. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, the Vaishyas, they started to take to Jainism. And the Shudras, they didn't take up any religion. They started to become thieves, kamchor, that somehow or other do minimum work and get maximum pay. So otherwise, earlier the Shudras were that how much I work, that much I should take. But then the Shudras, they started to get into thievery. In this way, the whole strong system of Varnashram started to break. And when there was weakness in the whole system, then the outside influence, the influence from the Middle East, the Islamic influence, had taken over the country, and then shipping companies arrived because they started to promote the products. And all through India, the concept of serving each other, the concept of service started to vanish. And therefore, this is how he explains the whole Varnashram kind of collapsed. And what remained was only Janma based, although that was one of the criteria, but later that was utilized as the only criteria to determine one's, and which is even still coming. And then he explains the third category of rules that are there in the Varnashram, that are rules, one was rules regarding self, and another was rules regarding society, and third is rules regarding soul's journey after this life, because that is also an important aspect one has to consider, that where are you going to go after this life. And then he explains that the punya and papa, the whole, what will give you benefit of punya for your next life and what will give you papa, even this is there. And then he explains 10 major categories of punyas, the 10 types of punyas that were there, and how especially one who is not at the highest platform of practicing pure bhakti should at least ensure that his activities are in the punya category. And finally, I would like to, although all these rules and regulations are there, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, all of them, they followed properly the Varnashram rules. Like we have Kashyapa Pandit, who was a brahmachari, we have Shivananda Sen, who was a grihastha, we have Ramananda Rai, who was a vanaprastha, and then ultimately Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a sannyasi. All of them, they stuck to the rules. That Kashyapa Pandit, although he was god brother of Lord Chaitanya, but because he was in the brahmachari ashram, he was a brahmachari, when his guru Ishwarapuri had told him, go and serve Lord Chaitanya, he just became a menial servant. His service all through in the Chaitanya Charitamrita was just to keep away crowds when Lord Chaitanya used to walk towards Jagannath Puri, to just keep away the crowds from pouncing on Lord Chaitanya. So even in Chaitanya Charitamrita, all the proper rules were followed. In that itself can be a whole topic, how in the CC also all these regulations were very consciously observed. But we also have examples where Lord Chaitanya overcame or didn't give over priority to Varnashram rules over the devotional rules, devotional practices. We have the story of when this old lady was taking darshan of Jagannath, she was so eager that she was climbing on Lord Chaitanya's shoulder to see Jagannath. And when Govinda sees this, he kind of tells her that, well, look what you are doing, you are stepping on Lord Chaitanya. And then she immediately realizes, she comes down and begs forgiveness. And Lord Chaitanya, he was highly unhappy with Govinda's behavior, and he said that, why are you so stuck to the rules? And he says Govinda as, you are uncivilized, because absorption in Krishna, when it is done naturally, one doesn't see the rules that are followed on the normal context. So when there is absorption, then it is a natural outcome that sometimes the rules are not followed properly. But when it is consciously trying to break the rules without proper absorption, then that is sinful or offensive. And we also have Narottam Das Thakur, who was meditating on the pastimes in Vrindavan, in Radha Damodar temple, and he was boiling the milk. And when he was boiling the milk, then he tries to, when the milk was coming over, he tries to pick the pot of milk, and because it was so hot, his hand burns in meditation, and he comes out of the trance, and when he sees it, he was actually burnt. His hands were actually burnt. So it doesn't happen on the physical sense that you are meditating something, it affects you physically. But the absorption of the acharyas, the followers of Lord Chaitanya was so much that it also affected them on the physical platform. And especially in this story, Lord Chaitanya explains that how absorption is of a much higher principle than just obeying the rules and regulations. And the whole emphasis here is also to be absorbed in this activity. And today morning only I was hearing His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. And he was saying, for them absorption is very natural, but for sadhakas, absorption should be a part of discipline. That as a discipline, we have to be absorbed in our chanting, in our services. And he makes one very important point, I will end with this, that absorption comes more strongly when we take some responsibility, when we take up responsibility. You feel responsible for your chanting of your rounds, you feel responsible for whatever you are doing. And he says responsibility fixes the mind. And another thing which he says, how does absorption come? By appreciating other devotees who are absorbed in their services. So, taking up responsibility and also appreciating other Vaishnavas gives this element of absorption. And then he explains that how Haridas Thakur, he was absorbed, but he was also appreciating other devotees, whatever one they were doing. In fact, he was also appreciating this prostitute who had come very sincerely. He didn't demean her that you are something low, but he appreciated that you came very sincerely last 3 days. And because of these two qualities of absorption and appreciation, one is able to please come out of the rules and regulations that are there, which I explained, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in Chaitanya Shikshamrita. So I'd like to stop here and thank you for giving me this opportunity to explain something that Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains. And if anything was worthwhile, very happy to serve. Srila Prabhupada ki.